Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, and the Senators win the draw. Sanderson coming up the middle. He's got Pinto with him. Sanderson keeps it and can't get the shot away. Good defensive play there by Sandin. He gets the puck back. He turns it maybe into a two-on-one. Coming with Ovechkin. He fires. He scores. He scores. Alex Ovechkin in overtime. Game-winning goal here in Ottawa.
He's pretty good.
How about that? Ovechkin. A minute 53 left in overtime. John Walton on the call last night. Career goal 874. He's within 20 of Gretzky's NHL record. And he broke a league record by scoring against his 179th goaltender, breaking Jaromir Jagr's record, who had scored goals against 178 goalies. 1-0 Caps. Big win last night. Ovechkin in OT. They are rolling right now. 65 points tied with Winnipeg for the best overall point total in the NHL. They've played one less game, however, than Winnipeg. They are pulling away, by the way, in the Metropolitan Division. They're 7 points up on Jersey in the division. So they are headed towards the potential home ice advantage throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs, because they're 7 points ahead of Toronto as well. What a season the Caps are having. What a season Ovechkin is having, even after the injury. I saw ESPN, and it wasn't our good friend who runs the ESPN hockey piece, but they put out kind of updated power rankings, and the Caps were one. And didn't you tell me the odds, like they're like 10th best, 11th best odds to win the cup?
Yeah, they're like startlingly low. I think you can get the Caps to win the Stanley Cup right now at 21-1.
Wow.
That is 12th best in the NHL at the moment.
All right, what else do you got?
Well, let's get a little negative. Your Turtles in action last night against the Wildcats. They lose in overtime at the buzzer, 76-74. I know you weren't feeling great after that one.
Well, you know, I wasn't feeling great going into it when I saw the point spread yesterday and talked about that it was a bit too short. Yeah, not a good win, loss. Northwestern was desperate. Northwestern's big and physical, for Maryland basketball fans, you know, I know what Kevin Willard's road record is. It's 4-21 in the Big Ten. That's not good, and so. Last night was painful because they fought back from a 10-point deficit to force overtime. They had the ball up two, and they had a 10-second violation when they weren't being pressured. And then with 7/10 of a second to go, they allowed one of Northwestern's better players to take a screen in which there was no switch of the screen, which you have to do with that time left. And he had a wide-open 8-footer at the buzzer to beat him. So the Terps fall to 3-4, 13-5 overall. Yeah, that was not a they're very lackadaisical, man, at times. I'll tell you, they've got talent. This is not a team that's lacking in front line, you know, starting five talent. But man, they had, you know, too many turnovers last night, 16 in the game. Derek Queen, second time, I think, in three games, he's had 5 turnovers. He's maybe hit a bit of a wall here. He looks just too casual at times with the basketball. Bad loss for Maryland. But long season. It's just January 17th. They got a long way to go, and they're going to have some big opportunities coming up. What else do you have?
One more final D.C. sport that's not football. Wizards lose last night to the Suns, but Kevin Durant, very, very positive about the Wizards' young core. He said, and I quote, "I think the defense is going to be the first thing you see from this group. I can't wait to see it. I want to see them do well." He also said they're going to be tough to score against over the next few years. He had 23 last night, but his guy Devin Booker had 37 in the Suns' 131-23 win.
Yeah, they were up by like 25 or something in going into the fourth quarter or something like that. But yeah, this is the second person to say very nice things about the Wizards' future. Anthony Edwards said the same thing earlier this week.
I think Draymond had said something similar earlier in the year too.
Yeah. Sarr had a good game and continues to be kind of consistent as a scorer, as a rebounder, as a shot blocker. What is this guy averaging in terms of shot blocks, block shots a game? Because
he had two last night.
An influencer there.
He had 1.6 two last night. He averages blocks, 1. Pretty good. 6. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What
Not
else?
Bad. They just need a point guard or just a dominant scorer. All right. We talked a lot about this over the course of the last couple of weeks because Cliff Kingsbury was a little honest saying, "I'm going to cross the bridge with the head coaching stuff when I get there." Well, Mike Florio reported yesterday, which, you know, a Thursday when a game's on a Saturday, I guess it's not as big of a deal. But he said that Cliff is not going to take any head coaching opportunities until the Commanders' season ends, which means if they win on Saturday, he's not going to take any head coaching opportunities. And eventually these spots that have been rumored have ties to Cliff Kingsbury are going to get filled. So that sure seems like Cliff is going to be here next year.
Yeah. I mean, Mike McDonald got a gig after the championship game. You know, he didn't formally interview with Seattle until after the championship game loss to Kansas City. The Kimes story on Cliff Kingsbury from last week was really, really good. There was some good stuff in it. We read from it, and I think both of us, right? I think you agreed with me, kind of came away thinking and leaning in the direction of Cliff's coming back next year. This is a really good situation for him. And this quarterback and Cliff Kingsbury in year two with, I mean, this is the, keep in mind, theoretically, well, practically, this is the worst it's going to be around Jaden Daniels this year. They have top five cap space. They've got a slew of draft choices. They're going to be a destination for free agents. They've never been that before. Free agents are going to want to come to Washington. And so Cliff, I'm sure, would love to be a part of that. And he's getting paid like a head coach until 27. So, and we don't know that he'd be a top flight contender for any of these gigs anyway, but it is good news. What else?
The Dolphins are going to be playing in Madrid,
yeah,
which means there is the potential that,
yes,
your dream game could happen. You know, the Commanders do have a game that's supposed to be in Miami, rather Miami being the home team, which they technically would be if this game is in Madrid. So there is a little bit of hope the Commanders could be going to Spain in 2025.
Yeah, we said when I forget who it was last week or earlier in the week, got Berlin, that there was one more destination to identify the host team, and they did it with Miami. And yes, Washington has a scheduled road game against the Dolphins, so it could be the Madrid game. That would be a phenomenal. That's, I'm going to tell you right now, if they play in a Madrid game, I'm going. I've been there, and it's lovely. And by the way, the Dolphins, I looked it up in terms of their other home games and the possibilities for a Madrid game. They play the Ravens at home next year. I'm talking about non-division teams. They play Joe Burrow and the Bengals. That would be an attractive Madrid game. They play the Chargers. They play Washington. They play Tampa too, as well. But there are a couple of options for the NFL to consider for that Madrid game. You know, one of the things is that those international games, a lot of times the reason you see not great teams and not great matchups, we had Chiefs-Dolphins last year, but that's really not the norm. You know, Carolina Giants and Jacksonville and somebody has been more the norm, Jacksonville, because they've sort of become the hometown team of London. But it's because these games air at 9:30 on Sunday, so it's the least amount of bang for their buck for the advertisers as well. And they also know that it's football. People are going to watch it. At any standalone game, especially early in the season, and these games are typically, what, over by the end of October, right? Usually the last international game, maybe the first weekend in November. So, you know, you're still in the midst of, you know, the middle portion of the regular season. People are going to watch whatever you put on at 9:30. On the East Coast. Maybe they won't go for Jaden Daniels in that spot. The schedule makers will want most of his standalone games to be in prime time or on holidays. Because next year you'll get, you know, your typical triple header on Thanksgiving. You'll also get probably at least a double header on Christmas Day. Christmas is on a Thursday next year. But Madrid would be a phenomenal trip to see this team play the Dolphins. What are the Dolphins going to be like next year? We have no idea. Can Tua stay right for? Yeah. All right. Anything else?
One final thing: Zay Flowers not expected to go on Sunday. That's the second game in a row without the Baltimore Ravens' number one wide receiver, obviously taking on Josh Allen. The Bills' biggest playoff game, second biggest playoff game that Lamar has played in, behind last year's AFC Championship game. You kind of want to be at all cylinders. So without Zay Flowers, it's going to be tough.
He's not a needle mover in terms of the point spread, I promise you that. But he is important, and they'll be missing him for the second straight game. But, man, I see Baltimore being able to run the football. All right, let's get to my smell test. All right, another winning weekend last weekend, 2-1. I had Texas against Ohio State. That lost. First and goal at the 1, 21-14 with 4 minutes to go. Are you kidding me? And then I had the Houston Texans plus the 3, and I had the under in the Washington-Tampa game, both winners. So 2-1. Last weekend on wild card weekend, and that makes 11 winning weekends in the last 13 weeks. And again, the two weekends in which I didn't win, we went 500. So record-wise, haven't had a losing record in nearly 3 months on the smell test for a weekend. That is definitely the best run. And there have been some really good runs, but in terms of just, you know, producing winning weeks, pretty much week after week, and 500 weeks in the other 2 weeks. I can't remember doing that. That's hard to do in betting. Denton knows that's really hard to do. I'm not sitting here breaking my arm, patting myself on the back, because it's not like every weekend was 5-1 or 8-2. You know, some of those weekends were 4-2-1 or 5-3-1 or 5-3 or 3-2 or like last weekend 2-1. But I think you'll take 66%. Last week at 2-1. Still, I think 16 units, 16 games above 500 for the season. All right, so this divisional round, man, I've done very well on the divisional round in recent years. Overall, I've hit it about 60% if you go back over the last 5 years in this divisional round. But I got to tell you, there are not a lot of obvious contrarian plays here. You know, you heard our guest Patrick Everson from Vegas Insider. You know, the Washington-Detroit ticket counts 50-50. Pretty much most of the point spread games are tickets are 50-50. There's not an overwhelming public desire for any of the teams based on the point spread. I thought that there was going to be a lot more Washington. The fact that it's 50-50, public loves favorites. They love overs in these standalone games. But I knew Washington was going to be a favorite that the public attached themselves to. He's too dynamic of a superstar at this point. They pulled off a thrilling win in the wild card round. It was the only lower seeded team, the only road win to win a team to win last weekend. You did have another underdog win. That was Houston, but they were at home. There's not a side that I like. I mean, Denton and I are going to go through these games and we're going to pick Washington, Detroit. But in terms of the smell test, there's not a point spread here that I like. I thought I might need Washington, didn't. I thought there was a chance I might need Philly laying the number. I don't. And I thought there might be a chance that I'd have Houston, which actually, I'll tell you, I actually personally like Houston plus the points. There's only one play this weekend, and it is the under in the Houston-Kansas City game. That is based on my information, and you heard Patrick Everson talk about it a little bit. There was a big sharp play at 42.5 that drove it down to 41.5. My information is more public money on the over in that game and a ton of sharp money on the under. It's 41.5 right now. I'll go low Kansas City-Houston under 41.5 as the only smell test pick for the four divisional round games. If I have something for Monday night's national championship game, I will give it out on the show on Monday. As of now, maybe a play in that game, and it would be on the total, actually. So under 41.5 Houston KC. You know, they played recently, they played the weekend before Christmas, and it was 27-19. So they put up 46 points in that game with the total at 42.5. And now the total is a point less than that. So, yeah, people are going to look at that and think over. Not to mention the fact that, you know, Houston in their last few games, you know, they scored 32 against the Chargers. And they've scored, you know, 27 or more three times in the last six or seven games. They did get, you know, basically blanked by Baltimore. They had the one safety in the game, 31-2. Under 41.5. All right, when we come back, we'll just quickly talk about the other three games, give you our predictions in those games, and then we're going to give you our prediction for tomorrow night. But we're going to do more than that. We're going to give you a Jaden Daniels box score, and then Denton and I will each have the thing that we're most confident in and the thing that we're most concerned about, and we will invite calls for that as well. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Final score prediction from you, and then the thing you're most confident about tomorrow night, and the thing that you're most concerned about tomorrow night. Phone lines open, 301-230-0980. Window Nation's got a great deal going on right now. Heating costs are getting out of control, especially for the East Coast, where it's just been brutally cold, and it is not over. Man, next week, high temperatures in the teens, low 20s, expected to be the second coldest inauguration day of all time. The coldest, by the way, 85, Reagan. They had to move it indoors because it was below zero that particular morning. Little inauguration day history there. But if you've got older windows, you got to get new windows because the insulation isn't good enough and you're just paying too much for energy. You're paying too much during the winter for your heat and you're paying too much during the summer for your air conditioning. If you've got older drafty windows, replace them with energy efficient windows from Window Nation. Call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com right now. Mention my name. They'll come out and give you a free estimate so you've got nothing to lose. If you decide to move forward with Window Nation, right now, the offer between now and January 31st, 50% off your purchase. All windows, all window styles, half price. Plus, no payments and no interest for 2 years. So by the time you start paying for your new windows, it's year 2027. Jaden Daniels already has an MVP and maybe a Super Bowl. And you haven't paid any interest and you've benefited from the lower heating and air conditioning bills. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. Tell them that Kevin Sheehan sent you. All right, Denton, take us around the NFL and we'll save Washington for last.
All right, we're going to start on Saturday, the ESPN game. You get the Texans, you get the Chiefs. It's a rematch of a game that came down to a very, very close finish a couple of weeks ago, but the Chiefs are sitting there now at 8-point favorites at a lot of books. Some books might have it at 8.5. I know you like the Texans personally. Are you going to play them?
I think Joe Mixon's health is a big deal in this one. He's questionable with an ankle injury. They absolutely need him. I don't think it's easy to run the football against the Chiefs, but they need him even as a pass catcher. You know, they played Kansas City that Saturday before they ended up playing Baltimore on Christmas, right? And they were there. The Tank Dell injury really took a lot out of them. That was a touchdown in the third quarter that cut it to 17-16. They missed the extra point. I like Houston more than I thought I would 2 weeks ago. I think their performance last Saturday after a slow start was as impressive as anybody's in wild card weekend. CJ Stroud, his decision making, Denton, he is a quick, fast processing quarterback. And that ball came out quickly. And, you know, because you had Bosa, you had two incredible pass rushers, you know, that you were dealing with in that game. And they had a difficult time blocking both of those guys. You had Mack and Bosa, and yet he really got on a roll and converted some big, big plays. I don't know. Do the Chiefs just turn it on? Do they just, you know, push the food to the side and say, we're going to stop playing with it? You know, we've played with it long enough. Now it's time to really eat and focus. It's yes. possible. It yes is possible. Is Karlaftis is great. Chris Jones is great. But so are Will Anderson Jr. So is Danielle Hunter. Their corners are good. I think this is 24-17. I got the under in this game. That would keep it just under the under. 20-17, one way or the other. I think the Texans have a legit chance to win this game. I would bet Houston plus the number and give them a chance to win the game outright. I'll pick Kansas City because it's Mahomes, 24-19. That's my final score.
It'd be such a buzzkill, honestly, if
That can't be my final score.
That
sorry.
Over.
That would put it over.
24-17 was correct.
23-17, Kansas City.
So, all right, so you're just under that. I had to do the mental math there. I think what you asked is correct. I think the Chiefs are going to turn it on. Now, this number is a large one. The 8 is a pretty big number, so I don't know that they're going to. I don't see them bludgeoning Houston. They have not been a team that's really bludgeoned anybody that is good at all this season, but they just find ways to win, and there's something about Mahomes in the postseason. Honestly, it would be a buzzkill for me as someone who's wanting to see either Lamar or Josh Allen take on Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game. It would be a buzzkill for me if C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans win this weekend. So I'm actively rooting against that. The two biggest storylines, Kevin, I think from a national perspective are, can the Chiefs three-peat? And then can either Lamar or Buffalo stop them from three-peating? And can they win a championship? Can Lamar get his first championship? Can Josh Allen get his first championship? So I'd really prefer those storylines to continue at least one more week and see the showdown of either the Chiefs versus whoever wins on Sunday, which we'll get to in a second, in the AFC championship game. So I'm going to take the Chiefs. I do think this goes, I'm with you on the under as well. I don't think they're a high-scoring team this year. I'm going to go 20-14. So Houston does cover, very, very low scoring, but Patrick Mahomes gets
so
it
we're
done.
We're in the same ballpark on
we're
this
We're in
one.
The same ballpark, yeah.
I mean, I think Mixon's health is crucial in this game. You know, last week he actually fumbled. You know, they had three turnovers and won the game. But that's because the Chargers had four. Herbert threw four
interceptions.
Two of them really weren't his fault. I don't know. I thought there were a couple of players that really stepped up for them. And defensively, man, he does a good job. They do a good job. D'Amico Ryans does a good job. Wouldn't shock me at all if Houston has a chance to win this game in the fourth quarter. All right, let's jump to Sunday.
Yeah, we're jumping to Sunday. You got the Rams and the Eagles at 3 p.m. This one on NBC. The Eagles are 6.5-point favorites at home. The Rams, though, looked really, really good against Sam Darnold. But the Eagles also looked, well, they didn't look good against the Packers. They beat the Packers. They didn't look good in the process. Who do you like in this one?
Well, right now, just based on the latest weather forecast for the East Coast on Sunday, this is going to be a game played in the snow. Snow starts before the game and falls throughout the game at the link with temperatures in the low 30s. That could change. We understand that. It's still two days away. But I think that impacts the game, no doubt. Now, who does it impact? The Rams have the better passing offense right now than the Eagles do. So, you know, is it going to make it harder for the Eagles, who have the better defense in this game, if the Rams in the snow spread it out and start chucking it to Cup and chucking it to Nacua, who know where they're going, but the defenders don't? You know, that's the thing about snow games, is a lot of people will tell you it favors the offense, especially if the offense can throw the football. Do you remember the Eagles played the Lions in a game, I don't know how, 10 years ago, something like that, and like 6 inches of snow fell during the game, and it was like 59 to 30-something. Like, the defenses couldn't stay on their feet. They were on skates the entire time. I on a normal day, I'd give the Rams a shot here because I think defensively they've come on a little bit, and I just don't have a lot of trust in the Eagles offensively. Why not, by the way? They have A.J. Brown. They have Saquon Barkley. They have Goddard, who's an excellent pass-catching tight end. Devontae Smith. Jahan Dotson. I'm just kidding. He did score a touchdown last week. They have a great offensive line. It's got to be Herbert. It's got to be Hurts. It's either Hurts or Kellen Moore, and Kellen Moore is up for jobs. Something hasn't been right for Hurts since he got hurt last year. And also, by the way, completely mismanaged last year. So I give the Rams a shot in this one, but I'm going to pick the Eagles 20-13. 20-13 in this game. They get the cover, but it's a good football game. It is a hard-hitting, physical game, unless the weather turns it upside down.
I think I like the Rams.
Man, that was, you had some hesitation there.
I think I like the Rams. Yeah, I've been thinking about this one maybe more so than any other except for our game this weekend. I think I like the Rams to go into Philadelphia and to get it done. I think the Philadelphia Eagles have the best roster top to bottom in the NFL right now, but there is just something about them. Coaching staff, players, coaching staff again, they're run by a moron. I just don't trust them in big game scenarios. They did not look good against Green Bay at all. They were hitting hard, for sure. I mean, those dudes were flying around, they were hitting. But they left a lot of places of, we'll call it vulnerability. And if you can leave that to Jordan Love when Jordan Love is thrown to like his wide receiver 6 because 1 through 5 got hurt, I don't know that you can do that with Sean McVay on the other side with Matt Stafford. I did look. This was such a homer thing, but I did look. There was someone that did the matchup, right? Quarterbacks versus running backs versus whatever. And one of these dudes from Philadelphia had the coaching favor them over Sean McVay, and I was like, you guys are so
yeah,
dumb.
No, if it comes down to head coach versus head coach, quarterback versus quarterback, you take the Rams, and by the way, it's not a bad way to go.
It's not a bad way. The Eagles win just about everywhere else, but those two spots, the two most important spots, favor the Rams, so I like the Rams to get it done, not at the buzzer, but I think they get a final drive, and they kick a game-winning field goal with about 10, 12 seconds left.
The one thing that I just keep in mind, because the Minnesota game kind of got sideways, but, you know, they moved the football on the ground. Cam Akers had some big runs. Aaron Jones had a couple of big runs. You know, the game that I, because I had the Cardinals that night getting the points on that Saturday night against the Rams. Arizona ran the football against the Rams. If Philly can run the football against the Rams, shorten the game, have their defense out there with a lead, it could get sideways on the Rams pretty quickly. But we'll see. I think this game, you know, really 3 of the 4 matchups this weekend are really enticing. This is one of them. Sunday night, you know, and Saturday night being the other. The first game of the weekend is probably the one that is garnering the least amount of interest, I would guess.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. But speaking of that last one, I mean, if there's one that's garnering more amount of interest than ours, it is this one. This is the one that everyone, I mean, this is the main event. You get the Ravens on the road taking on Buffalo. Winner gets to the AFC Championship game. Lamar's looking to get a big playoff win. Josh Allen's looking to get a big playoff win. These are the two top candidates for MVP. This has all the workings of becoming an absolute headbanger. The Ravens, one-point favorite. That line has moved a little bit, but not too much. I think I saw it at 1.5 at other books. Who do you like in this one? Do you think Lamar gets his first big-time playoff win?
Did you know, by the way, that this is the first time in 42 home games that the Bills have not been a favorite? It's been a long time since they have not been the favorite team at home. This is quite the matchup. It's a shame that, you know, we don't get both of these teams into the AFC Championship game, but that would mean Mahomes wouldn't be in it. I like Baltimore. I like Baltimore to win the whole thing. And I felt this was my position last year, and I was dead wrong. I think this is the best rushing football team. I think this might be the best run stopping team. I like Baltimore. I think they're going to be able to run the football. The first game probably is not a good example of what to look for because the Bills were injured. They're a healthier football team right now. Not to mention they're at home. Derrick Henry ran for $199 in that win back in week 4. I think Baltimore is going to be able to run the football and stop the run. So I think it's Baltimore 27-17.
We are on opposite sides of this one. I like Josh Allen.
I don't dislike him.
No, I mean, I'm saying I like him tonight. I Buffalo to win the game. I think that first matchup is not indicative to who these two teams are now. And I think we've seen Josh Allen have hero kind of moments and then lose football games because most of them are against the Chiefs, right? Or he had that one year where he lost to the Bengals in the wake of the DeMar Hamlin stuff. I think this is the year where the Bills and Josh Allen gets his first big-time playoff win. I think it's going to be a great game. I think we're going to see a lot of scoring between the two teams, but I like the Bills to get it done against the Ravens.
All right. If this were just a normal, you know, year as a fan of Washington and we didn't have our own team in a game, that would be the must-watch game of the season, Baltimore and Buffalo. Cold as hell in Buffalo. Maybe snow showers, but really, really cold temperatures. I'm going to take the team that can run it and stop it. We'll see. It's not going to surprise me any result in that game. I am going to be rooting for the Ravens, though, and Lamar Jackson. This would be, we talked about it earlier in the week, his biggest win of his career if he can win this game. All right, it's time for our Washington-Detroit prediction. Here's what we're going to do. Denton and I right now are going to give you our Washington-Detroit prediction. Then we're going to give you a Jaden Daniels box score from the game, and then we're going to tell you what our biggest concern is and what our biggest confidence area is. And then we want your calls, 301-230-0980. We want a final score prediction, and then what are you most confident about and what concerns you the most about this matchup. I'll go first. I picked Washington last week, 27-23. It's been a while, actually, I think, since I haven't picked Washington to win. But I'm picking Detroit to win tomorrow night. Let me just preface it by saying I am not going to be surprised if Washington wins this game. I think they absolutely can win this game. But this is different than last week. It is going to be a hostile environment. Detroit has a dominant offensive line and a dominant run game. And I'll get to my concern, but you can kind of sense where it's heading. I think Washington will score, and I think this will be a shootout. I think Detroit wins the game 42-31. That's my final score prediction. But this is a game Washington is in. You know, my imaginary game that I played out in my head yesterday was a 28-24 halftime lead. I don't know if it'll be that, but it'll be something like, you know, 21-17. You know, this is going to go back and forth for a while, but Detroit is kind of a team that right now has overplayed themselves defensively, I think, at times this year, and even did it in the season finale with all of the injuries, and has just been unstoppable on offense. You know, Sean Springs said that Jared Goff puts it up for grabs. He had 12 picks this year. Five of them were in one game, and they won the game. That was against Houston in a game on the road, which was an odd game. I got Detroit. I'm praying that I'm wrong, and I think that there's a chance that this is even closer. Like, I could see this being 35-31 and Washington just needing one stop to get the ball back, and Detroit burns the clock and scores, you know, in the final 20 seconds for a 42-31 win. But that's my prediction. Denton, what's yours?
So this has been obviously a big thought in my mind for the entire week, and as I look at this and break down matchups, every single bit of logic suggests that Detroit should roll over the Commanders. There's a reason they were a 9.5 at some books, you know, 10-point favorite, and I get that. You know, their offense is so good, and this defense that we've been watching for now 18 games has been very much the opposite of so good. So logically, it makes so much sense to say Detroit. But man, I ain't come here to give you logic. You don't use logic on the football field. Mama ain't raised no bitch. Give me the Commanders. We're getting to an NFC Championship game for the first time in my lifetime, Kevin. They're going to go in there and they're going to beat Detroit. They're going to squash on this miracle season for the Detroit Lions. They're going to blow up that entire coaching staff with Ben Johnson going to Vegas. They're going to send Aaron Glenn to whichever team he wants to. Maybe he likes the Jets. Good luck with Aaron Rodgers over there, my friend. They're going to blow this miracle season up for the Detroit Lions, and it's all thanks to number 5. Give me the Commanders 34-31, and they're going to the NFC Championship game.
Wow. And you would have them probably playing the Rams.
I would have them playing the Rams. I want more revenge.
What
give
would
me
that
Sean
point
McVay.
Spread be? Well, we haven't done the look-ahead line. See if you can find them for the final segment. Real quickly, and then we'll break and get to your calls. I got Jaden having a phenomenal football game. 27-35, 290 yards passing, 3 touchdowns in the game. I've got him rushing 10 times, 11 times, something like that, for 70-plus yards in the game. My biggest confidence area is that they're going to move the football. They're going to score. Jaden's going to play well. Offensively, this is going to be a really good game. My biggest concern is Detroit's offensive line and running game is just too much for Washington. And if Washington decides to get aggressive and load the box, then Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams and Sam Laporta and the rest of them will be wide open and they will score quickly. Detroit is a different beast offensively than anybody they have faced. I mean, Baltimore, you know, back in October, but Baltimore's even different now. 42-31, Jaden has a big night, but ultimately the flaw is exposed by the best offensive team in the league, and they lose an 11-point decision. Give me your Jaden stat and the thing you're most confident in and the thing you're most concerned with.
Big game from Jaden. I'm going to go 25 of 32 for 250-plus yards. I'm in agreement with you. I think he scores 3 touchdowns. But I think the biggest thing where we might differentiate ourselves, Kevin, and why I think Washington wins, I think he has that big run that we've been waiting for. It doesn't have to be the 75-yarder that Robert had against Minnesota, but I think he has the big run that we've been waiting for. So I think he goes over 100 yards rushing, and he scores a rushing touchdown on that run. And that really is what puts the game away. So I like Jaden to have over 100 yards rushing and a touchdown as well. 4 total touchdowns for him. I'm in the same boat as you. I think the defense is worrisome. I think the deep shot is what I'm afraid of. You know, with Marshawn Lattimore, if he's not going to shadow Amon-Ra St. Brown, does he trust his hamstring enough if he does have to match up one-on-one versus Jameson Williams, where Jameson Williams is running a go route? That worries me a ton. Yeah, I think Jared Goff has been really accurate, but I will say this, Kevin. I think Jeremy Chinn comes down with a pick. I don't think it's going to be Kwon. I think Jeremy Chinn comes down with an interception late in the ball game that helps Washington put this one away.
Look, whoever wins the turnover battle in this game is likely going to win the game, because I don't think either offense is going to get slowed down in this game. I really don't. You know, I've said this so many times about this team and its defense this year. You could have one of those games where Detroit's moving, they're dominating, and it's a penalty that just ends up being a head scratcher that gets called against them. You know, it's some sort of chop block, or it's a big play, it's ineligible downfield, or it's a hold, and it doesn't even look like it when they go to the replay, but you get the benefit of stealing a drive with a bad call. You know, those things really matter in this kind of a matchup, because the team that's able to steal a possession or two, meaning you're getting the ball after they punted or after they missed a field goal or after they kicked a field goal or even better, after they turned it over, you're really in the driver's seat. Because I don't think the offensive results are going to be that much different in the game. All right, your calls, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Final score prediction, and what do you feel most confident about? What are you most concerned with? We'll finish it up that way. Denton will find, and I'm looking for him too, the look-ahead lines with Washington involved in an NFC championship game. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com. All right, Denton found the look-ahead lines for the NFC Championship game. So let me guess, all right? If it's Philly, it's 7. 7.5, maybe.
Okay, what about if it's Los Angeles?
If it's Los Angeles, it is less than a field goal. It is the Rams -1, -2, somewhere around there.
So you're very, very close with both of them. For the Rams, this one is according to, I don't know if this book sponsors us, but it's according to a book that is very famous. It's Washington +2.5 against the Rams. It's 6.5 against Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. So they got it under a touchdown. Real quickly, what would the Lions-Eagles be, do you know?
Lions-Eagles would be 2.5 in favor of Detroit. If we got Chiefs, Ravens, it'd be 1.5.
1.5 who?
1.5 in favor of the Chiefs, and same deal if it's Chiefs-Bills.
Got it. All right, let's get to the phone lines. Your prediction, give it to us quickly, and quickly say what you feel confident about, what you feel concerned with. I want to rip through these calls, so get to the point. Let's start with our guy, Billy in Chantilly. Billy, go ahead.
Kevin, good morning, good afternoon. Jaden's the MVP. This franchise had 6 foot of dirt on it. This guy shows up. He's better than Allen. He's done more than Lamar. If you're a GM, you either have to pick a defensive player to cover this guy, or you got to pick a quarterback who's as good or better than him. You're not going to be able to do either. He has changed the league. The same as last week as it is this week. Lattimore covered Evans well.
Are you going to give me your final score prediction?
He took a chunk out of Lattimore on his first catch. He only had 92 yards. Keep your timeouts. 42-35 Commanders, and I'm most confident in 6-beer fourth quarter, baby. We're going to the NFC Championship.
Let's go to Ronnie. Ronnie, go ahead.
All right, Kevin. I'm like you. I've been playing this out all week. I believe in the football gods. I'm pretty sure your memory the last time when Detroit was 0-16, the first team they beat was us.
Yep.
I think the football gods are going to pay us back this week. I got 34-31 Washington, and I love the fact you say Washington. You struggle saying that C word. Let's go, Skins!
All right, thanks. Let's go to Barney. Barney, final score prediction, what you're confident in, what you're concerned about. Go.
Yeah, it's Bernie, first of all.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Bernie.
No, no problem. Yeah, look, 31-30 Commanders. What I'm confident in is karma. We've always had the Lions' numbers. If you go back to the 1950s when the Lions were winning championships, we were beating them. In 1970, they went to the playoffs. We were like 3-11. They knocked Larry Brown out of the game, and we came back and beat them. November of 1990, Jeff Rutledge.
Right. Detroit's kind of owned us recently. They've won 7 out of the last 8 against us. But we did have that long streak against Detroit, I remember, in the 70s and 80s. 31-30 for Bernie. Let's go to Lap. Lap, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, Kevin?
Hey, Lap.
Shout out to Denton. Hey, I'm going to say 34-31. I think Jaden's going to have over 200-something passing, 4 touchdowns, 1 rushing, baby. And let's get this win. Hopefully, I think we're going to play Philly, though, if we both advance. But it will be nice to see Rams and Commanders because we can get another opponent that we haven't played in the regular season. Just like
Super Bowl, here we come if it's that way. Thanks, Lap. Let's go to Ryland. Ryland up in Canada. Ryland, what do you got?
Kev, it's our time, buddy. I think it's going to be a little low scoring, though. 28-17 skins, and it's simple. JD5, with the expectation that he is who he is, give me him any day over Jared Goff with the weight of Detroit waiting on him. Let's go, baby. Skins are going to the Super Bowl. Hail, baby. Let's go.
I'll definitely take our quarterback over anybody remaining on the NFC side of the draw, although Stafford's a close second. Brian, go ahead.
45-42, Washington wins in overtime.
Wow.
Both teams have had a game where they had 5 turnovers and still managed to win.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough.
Yeah.
They do this if turnovers, catch the interception that actually comes to you, fall on the fumble that actually drops in front of you.
Yeah.
Attack, like you said, everything that they can do, you can do. Run a couple trick plays, confuse them. If B-Rob running them up the middle 3 times in a row is not working, stop doing that. Specials, don't go for the first spin move and dive the other way. Don't get turpined.
Thanks for that. And yes, Washington won a game this year with 5 turnovers over Philadelphia, 36-33. And the Lions beat the Texans on a Sunday night with Goff throwing 5 picks in the game, and yet they overcame that. All right, back on Monday. Enjoy it. This should be so much fun. First time in 19 years. Would love to get to next weekend and have another game to talk about.